All right, we're back. Yep. Where were we?
Virus infection cycle?
Yes.
Yes. でもだからそれぐらいのスピードで増えれるわけだからそれは一番多いわって感じですよね、はい、納得って感じ、うん、でもなんかそういう話を聞いてるとますますこれがこう無生物であるっていうのは言い難い感じがするけど、もう主観だけど完全に、
うん、もうそこの議論はもう多分厳密にやろうとしたら答えが出ないので、最近はもうあんまりそれ自体議論にならなくなってて、もう個人 の, どう思うかっていうのでそれでいいんじゃないかっていう
感じ、
もう決めないどこっていう、
はい、They are what they are、yeah. you know?
そうだよね、そりゃそうだよね。
Do you think、that the role of viruses can, could、change on this planet in the distant future?
In the long run?
Yeah, like, is there, do we observe any kind of trend, or are they, they're kind of
in just... In a geological time scale?
Yeah.
I don't know, but、that gigantic virus that we mentioned earlier,、mm. maybe that's one...At least it didn't, I think it didn't exist very, very long time ago when there were only、prokaryotes, which are bacteria and archaea.、
Mm.
It was made possible because of the emergence of the eukaryotes.、
Mm.
Mm.
So that's one trend, which nobody knows how old those gigantic、huh. Viruses are, but probably still...Maybe like a billion years.、
Mm.
But it's still sort of like a newer type of viruses compared to the ones that only infect archaea and bacteria,、
mm.
which tends to be much, much smaller.、
Mm. So as life forms on Earth evolve,、perhaps become more complicated, you see、viruses will evolve as well and keep up with all those niches and...Life isn't going to、get away from viruses. In the
yeah, it probably will keep on going maybe forever. And,、mm. But at least at the cellular level, us humans are also not that different from even just the yeast cell.、
Mm.
It's just that they have a multiple cells、mm. to make one body. But...、maybe yeast is a little more exaggerated, but if we compare with worms or something,、
mm-hmm.
a more primitive、multicellular、mm-hmm. life,、mm-hmm. at the cellular level, it's not that different. So、mm-hmm. what basically matters more for the viruses are something at the cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
So even if the humans evolved so much, I don't know how much that will impact the evolution of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
But...there's always a continuous small mutations which are also considered as a small evolution、
mm.
always happening every day、
mm. Do you worry at all about a virus pandemic resulting in you know the destruction of Earth
like the
or
SARS or the Ebola virus?
Yeah, butBecause hypothetically, such a very potent and dangerous virus could emerge.
It might、right? happen, sure.
Perhaps as a result of、our interactions with、farm animals or、I don't know.
Or the、That's... ice melting in the North Pole、
yeah.
or something.
Reveal some archaic virus.
Yeah, they yeah. talk about
yeah,
it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.、
Mm.
yeah.
Actually, the group of people who found those gigantic viruses, one of their viruses came from the Siberian、permafrost sample.、
Mm. Ooh.
Mm.
So at that time, when that news came out, there were some news websites saying that, oh my God, those scientists discovered an ancient virus...And they should not do that because it's so dangerous and all that. But that was not really true because it、
right.
was just a virus infecting amoeba.、
Mm.
But in the long run, maybe it might happen. Like、 even like 10,000 years ago, there were humans, mm-hmm. and there probably were viruses infecting humans at mm-hmm. that time.
Mm-hmm.
And some of their DNA or RNA sequence could be very different from the viruses that exist today. Mm-hmm. So we humans probably don't have the immune system for those 10,000-year-old virus. That might happen, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
なんか普通の人よりウイルスに感染しないように気をつけるみたいな職業病とかってあったりします？
特にないです
。普通ですか？
睡眠しっかりとるぐらい
なんかいつもこう観察してると怖くなってきそうみたいな勝手なイメージがあったんですけど、
でもほとんどのウイルスはもうあの人には何も起こさないっていうのを知ってるから逆に、
あ、そうかそうか、余裕が。
But on the flip side, there are so many viruses and they're all changing.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in this dynamic soup of just billions and billions of viruses that are adapting themselves and seeking hosts. You have to wonder if just probabilistically, if some virus will find that niche in humans. And these days we have all sorts of new vectors for infection that we've come up with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world is more interconnected than it's ever been mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. So there could be a new level of risk that perhaps didn't exist, you know, 100 years ago or 200 years ago.
It might, but I think that's also the case with pathogenic bacteria. Mm. And
Do you think we should do something to try to? I mean, if there's only like, you know, 5 or 6 guys that are working on these exotic viruses, and there's so many viruses we haven't discovered. I mean, it almost seems like we should just have more people looking at viruses in general.
Yeah, sure.
Is it possible that like, その例えば望月さんが探しているようなウイルスで、なんか今までこう探しに行ってる人が少なかったから気づかなかったけど、実は人間にも感染できるみたいな。
多分私が探しているようなウイルスだと多分ないとは思います
。環境が違いすぎて。
なぜかというと、もし本当にそれが起きるんであれば、我々日本人が温泉に行った時にたくさん蒸気とかでも吸い込んでるので、それで病気になるとかいう例はないので。
そうかそうかそうか、そうか、蒸気で吸い込んでる。
あとはそのウイルスはさっき言ったように、あの感染した宿主の遺伝情報とかからあの自分を複製したりとかするんですけども、あの熱水系の生き物と我々だとその遺伝的なシステムが全く違うので、使えないです
ね。そっかそっかそっか。
だからあの私はあの自分 の研究所であの新しくウイルスの研究を始めるってなった時に、周りの人たちは結構なんかやばいのが来るみたいなになったらしいんですけど、自分のウイルスは食べても大丈夫なやつですっていうふうに言ってます。
You don't have any viruses with you right now.
確かに、ウイルスだけ聞くとね。
You could have a really small, really, really small container and have like the craziest.
but what I personally have in mind is at the time I die, like when the doctors tell me that you probably only have 24 hours to live, then I would like to inject the viruses that I found into my own body and die together with them. That's how much I love the little bugs that I found.
Oh, やっぱり愛着が湧くものですか？可愛く見えてくる。
特にあの写真とか見るとやっぱり形を見るとすごく思い入れが。
Yeah, it's almost a shame the visual is so impressive of these viruses, but they're so small. It's like, you know, you can't really see it with your naked eyes, mm-hmm. but it's there and it looks this amazing. Yeah. It's almost like snowflakes or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
これもすごい初歩的な質問なんですけど、ウイルスって基本的には無色なんですか？
そうですね。はい。
色はついてない。
ほとんどついてないと思います。というか、あの色を認識するレベルまで
大きくない
凝縮させるのはすごい大変なので、
So it's entirely a mechanical. There's nothing about the appearance of viruses that is there for appearance's sake. You know, like a lot of animals at our scale, it's a lot of, you know, birds and stuff. It's a lot of signaling and stuff. But this is totally a mechanical.
そうか、だから交配するわけじゃないから別に色がついてたりとか、そうなんか。
ただ細胞に、あの宿主となる細胞に認識してもらうことは必要なので、そのためにあのさっきちょっと話に出たような細胞表層のタンパク質の、あの構造だったりとか、その辺はあの変わってますけど、そこまでいくとあの電子顕微鏡でもなかなか認識できないので、こういう写真では見えないんですけども、結晶あの構造解析までするとそこまで見えたりもします。
I was reading about this wasp this morning that the wasp lays its eggs inside of a caterpillar. The eggs are infected with a virus which prevents the caterpillar from rejecting the eggs. Do you know
rejecting the eggs?
Yeah, from its body, because they're inside the caterpillar's body. But they found that there's like a, the reason why the caterpillar wasn't rejecting the eggs is because the eggs carried a virus that had infected the wasps or something. It was like some...
That's crazy.
I had to read it like 10 times and I still don't understand. But it's like, you know, the relationship that it participates in can involve like several different unexpected animals. It's not just one host. It's like a different animals all interacting with this one virus. And the virus is performing a function for this wasp, you know, that it doesn't... It probably thinks that it's doing it. I don't know. Right?
That's weird.
Right? You know how like the cordyceps mushroom fungi infects the ant, and it kind of takes over its brain and makes it climb to the highest point so that it can spread the spores. Is there anything that could be going on like that with viruses that they affect your...
Behavior
and your...
So there are a lot of viruses that make you sick, but there are some viruses that gives you some sort of advantage to the host. I don't know too many examples in my mind, but there are some viruses that gives you a little bit of heat tolerance in plants.
Interesting.
Or I don't remember... the exact detail, but maybe they allow to grow at different soils with slightly different chemicals, like what normally is a little bit toxic to the plant condition. With an infection of a certain viruses, it allows the plant to grow at that little dirty environment and things. And there are also some... viruses infecting bacteria that do photosynthesis, like the ransel
ovaries?
No.
Ransel
cyanobacteria. Cyanobacteria. So that cyanobacteria does photosynthesis, and there are some viruses that also have a little bit of photosynthetic genes. And when the virus infects the cyanobacteria, their photosynthesis rate gets higher. So it gives the benefit to the host. But I think the viruses are also benefiting from this boost, because that way they will be able to make more DNAs, more proteins, and things like that.
So viruses are generally self-interested, right?
Yes.
Toxoplasma, was it a virus? Or is it
toxoplasmosis?
Yeah. Because that affects the host behaviors as well, right?
I think that's a parasite. I think it's at the cellular level.
It's not a virus.
Level.
Yeah, right. So, なんかその先ほどこう同じような研究してる人がいないがためにこう自分でいろいろこう figure out しなくちゃいけないって話だったんですけど、その世界で5人しかやってない研究をやることのその他に大変さっていうか苦悩みたいなってどういうところですか？
いまだに身近でそんなにディスカッションができる人がいなかったり、
そうかそうか、
日々の本当に細かいデータを一緒に話す相手が身近にはいないので、いま、
うん、
だに昔のフランスのボスたちとはやり取りしたり、
うん、
2週間前も会いに行ったりはしてたんですけど、そういうなんかちょっと一緒に働ける人がかなり遠くにいるっていうのはいま、
うん、
だにちょっと寂しい気は
してます。なるほどそっか、なんか結構うちの番組を学生も聞いてるので、ぜひじゃあジョインしてもらって
、はい、ぜひお待ちしてます。
it's such a mysterious world you know that you're looking at and it's fascinating to imagine you kind of going to an onsen and no one could understand what you're doing.
Yeah. And when I go to onsens and ask for the permission to take the samples, I don't say that I'm a virologist.
Oh.
Because if I say that, the onsen people will consider that I maybe came from the health department or something.
確かに保健所の
looking for salmonella or E. coli or something like that. 確かに
すごい警戒されそう。
Yeah. So I tell them that I'm studying on origin of the earth and origin of life. That's because what our institute, Earth Life Science Institute, is actually doing. And very, very once in a while, those people do have some scientific backgrounds.
Okay.
Know that there are some living organism at those boiling hot temperatures. Mm. And then I would say what I'm actually doing.
Right.
But when I normally go, I don't really tell that I'm a virologist.
So, か面白い。
It's crazy that there aren't more people studying the origin of life. I mean, if this is really, and it seems to be a key part of that mystery.
There are quite a lot of people studying and interested in origin of life itself, but not of people who are studying that through the viral perspective.
Mm. But it seems like that would be a good place to put your bets, right?
Yeah.
For the origin of life, that because we know about these thermal vents and we know about that RNA and DNA they must be a key part of the origin of everything here. I mean, this is part of a mystery that is like bigger than science or bigger. I mean, this is like the one of the this is the mystery, right?
Yeah.
Like where did life come from? Like how come like.
It's
that,
the question.
That's the
and
question,
it's,
right?
It's like a very, very unique scientific discipline that's has been continuing since the ancient Greek times.
Yeah.
Mm. And of course, at those days, they had a totally different idea. And also, there were some people thinking that it was the God who created.
Mm. Right.
But in any case, it has been going on for centuries and centuries. Mm. And finally, within this past 100 years or so, it's finally started to become a very scientific field. And we're very fortunate to be in this day and age. And just simply the fact that we have the skills to do the DNA sequencing. And it's not so difficult to get samples from hot springs, but it's very difficult to get samples from the deep sea hydrothermal vent. But at least we do have the technology to do that and all that. So I think it's a very good time to study this kind of topics.
Yeah. This might be the first time that it's that the field has been seemingly, I mean, this close to having a breakthrough on where life came from. You know, like 50 years ago, I mean, 100 years ago, they barely even knew that viruses existed, right?
So, right.
Yeah,
it's also different. Like, I remember when I was a child, なんかテレビでよくエイリアンはいるのかいないのかみたいな話をしてて、 まあ、結構エイリアンいるって言ってる人はとんでもな人たちみたいな扱いだったけど、今別に普通にこう、あ、じゃあ地球外生命体がいたらどうなるとか、それこそその地球外にいる細胞のウイルスの話とかをしても別に、なんだろう、普通の科学的な話として話せるわけじゃないですか。
あの電波望遠鏡とか使って、あの知的生命体の電波を受信したいっていう研究も、それもあのもちろん研究としてちゃんと成り立ってるんですけども、
うん、
あの少なくともまあ太陽系の中ではそういう存在はいないのはもうほぼ確実だと思いますけど、うん、あの単細胞生物という意味では十分この太陽系の中にもいる可能性はあるし、多分、うん、あのこういう極限環境の生物学やってる人たちにアンケート取ったら、地球外生命体太陽系の中にいると思いますかって聞いたら、多分半分以上の人はいると思うって言うと思うんで、
うん、ね、それがなんか、まあ、私今31ですけど、子供の時からだから本当数十年しか経ってないで、ここまで変わってるっていうだけでもすごいことだなっていう。
You know, there are those ice geysers on Ceres andI think Enceladus might have them as well.
Right.
And we could just fly a spacecraft through that geyser,
right,
and bring that sample back here,
right,
and give it to you, and you could look at it and be like, there's the alien virus,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's totally plausible, right?
It's possible, and I heard that it's technically also possible, but the only downside is that it costs a lot.
But the price of that is going down a lot, right?
Yeah, should be.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't cost that. It'd probably be a little more than $100 million.
I heard that it costs somewhere between 500 yen and 3000 yen.
That's a huge gap, but...
depending on the quality of the instruments that they're
buying. Right, right. Mm-hmm. But it's not like we can't... I mean, humans can't afford it, right? I mean...If you think about all the shitty things that we're spending money on.
Yeah.
Right? I mean
one,
all the governments.
One F-22 is $350 million.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we can do it.
And also the Olympics is roughly the same amount of like Sunsan Okuen or something like that.
Oh, God.
And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be having this Tokyo Olympics or anything, but...
I would.
I'm personally, I don't have any personal opinion on the Olympics itself, but if we can afford to have another Olympic, let's just talk about after the Tokyo 2020. Mm. And maybe if for some reason the Japanese community starts to feel that the kind of science with these astrobiology kind of thing is really, really interesting, it might not...bring a lot of a direct benefit for anybody, but it's still something that the mankind has been searching for ages and ages.
Yeah.
And we might be able to get a direct proof of that while we're still living. I think that's really, really cool. And I think it's something that is really worth spending
definitely.
The tax for.
Can we make sure that we somehow get that Enceladus water tested before the three of us are dead? Just
yes, please. Yeah, this is... Yeah, Enceladus, 本当に気になるよね。Mm.
I know that JAXA is really interested in doing the mission.
Can you imagine that in history, though? Like, Japan is... If Japan launched a rocket and got that sample and found, you know, alien...
The first
viruses
evidence.
Or alien bacteria, alien anything. But that would be...I mean, that's almost, you know, it's not just there's some alien thing here, but it would also help us figure out a lot about where life came from, you know, the origins of it.
Yep.
And that's the greater mystery, more than whether aliens exist or not. We know aliens are possible since we're here, but we just don't know how.
Yeah.
Right.
And how similar or how different from the Earth life forms.
And isn't it crazy to think that, like, with all these...bureaucratic, like government bullshit reasons, we don't do that and instead we have Olympics. And then we die. It's like, what is our priority? Like, as a humankind, it's crazy.
Well, I think we should, there's a lot of other stuff people can do too and have fun. But I just think people are underestimating how much fun this could be,
yeah,
you know,
totally.
Something
For
like this.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to find, right? It's crazy.
I think a lot of people are truly interested in the origin of life studies, but they don't, for a long time, they didn't try to pursue that seriously as a science. But I think things are starting to change within this past decade or something. And I think the establishment of our institute, the Earth Life Science Institute, ELSI in short, was also done by the government money. And I think things are really going well. And we want to maintain our institute. And but that's also something that requires a chunk of money.
Right. And I guess people's, like general public's, like science literacy as well, right? I think some of the guests who've come onto the show have mentioned how, like, まあ結局その税金が投入されなくちゃいけないわけだから、そのためにはこう一般市民の人にもその重要性を分かってもらう必要があるっていう。ただそれがなかなかその研究がまあ普通の人にパッと言って分かりやすいものだったらいいけど、まあそうじゃないものとか、まあ普通の人がまあ私の人生に関係ないじゃんって思っちゃう。まあ、パッと聞いただけではそう思っちゃうようなこととかも結構多いから、なかなか難しい。
お金になるものではないので、仮に生命の起源とか地球外生命体が発見されたり解決されたりしても、それで何か新たにお金を生み出すっていうあのものではないので、それでやっぱりあの人とかお金の投資はしづらいのは分かるんですけども、まあ、単純にあのここまで夢を持たせられるものってなかなかないと思うんで。
And we don't know. Certainly, a lot of this wouldn't generate like short-term profits. You know, like we're researching this virus over here because it's so mysterious. But we don't know what sort of benefits we could have from this information in the future. And to me, it seems like, you know, the there has to be tremendous value in all these different varieties of like viruses that we see, all these different structures, and all they all have different functions. There's certainly a lot we could learn in from the viewpoint of like biomimetics or something, right?
In the long run, in the very long run, it's still a virus study. So in the very long run, by looking into the weird viruses that we find from these hot springs, we might eventually, somebody might find curing ways for the viral disease that causing the people ill. So like that's also something that's, I wouldn't call it impossible.
But they can be our allies. They can be used like any I mean, like any tool.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. Was it, were you saying that it was in Israel that they still do it?
Georgia.
Georgia, right.
Yes. They're still doing it, and I think there are more and more people who are studying about these phage therapies in the past decade or something.
That sounds really cool. Like, あ、ちょっとウイルス接種しなくちゃみたいな。
Well, your job sounds absolutely incredible. You get to travel around, going to onsens, sampling viruses, looking at something that. I mean, before you saw these, probably nobody had ever seen these, right? You were the first person.
Yeah. So that's really something that excites me personally. I personally think that these viruses probably had existed at least 3 billion years. And for this entire 3 billion years, nobody knew that they existed.
Right.
And I get to be the first one in the world to actually see them and check how they look like, what they're doing, what their genetic sequence are. It's really something
that's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's like what astronomers like dream about for years and years. And here you are like, oh, I got all these super dope looking viruses right here. Did you name all of these?
Yes. So I've actually named several of these.
Wow.
The Clavaviridae was the first one. And the second one was the Spiroviridae. And then I also named the Tristromaviridae.
How do you name them?
So they're basically there's a rule that you have to put verde at the end.
Okay.
And for so the taxonomical orders for viral classification, the lowest is the sort of like the individual level, which is the species, and the highest is the family level.
Mm-hmm.
In Japanese, it's ka, rika no ka.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a Kurava viridae family, or in Japanese, Kurava viridae ka. Mm. And what comes before the viridae, basically you get to name it. Mm. And in this case, it looks like a rod,
mm-hmm,
or a club, mm, to hit something. So clava is, I believe it was a Latin word for clubs.
Okay.
Mm. What about this tristroma?
Tristroma is, we figured out that it had three-layered structure.
Mm.
So tree is for three, stroma is for layers.
Mm.
And the spira verde is, it has a coil or a spring-like structure.
Mm-hmm.
And spira is for the spring.
Is it actually a spring? Like, does it have...
Is it does springy?
Does it have springy?
It does have a springy structure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does it use the springiness?
I don't think it has any elasticity in its spring.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this coil-like structure that they have. But actually, this was the first example of a single-stranded DNA virus from these thermophilic environments. All the rest that had been known at that time were double-strand DNA, just like us. The cells also have double-strand DNA genomes. This was the first example of a single-strand DNA virus from these thermophilic environments.
Wow.
But unfortunately, this was not purely isolated as a pure virus host system. Mm. And it was kept sort of like in a mixture culture. And in the long run, we kind of lost the mixture, and we can't do all the kinds of the analytical things that we wanted to do. So we're not like 100% sure with the structural details.
Huh.
But based on everything we could do, it took like 3-4 years to complete this work. But
wow,
we're pretty hoping that it really actually has this coil-like structure. Mm.
So, like, 何が入ってるかなってサンプル持って帰ってこういろいろ見てる中で、あれこれ新しくないってなった時のどういうテンションなんですかそれって、もはや
ワクワクが止まらないです
そうですよね。最初なんかどういう感じなんですか、あれこれ何みたいなとこから始まるんです。
そうですね、多分なんかいるっていうところから始まって、うん、で、あの電子顕微鏡を使わないとあの形が見えないんですけど、うん、電子顕微鏡ってそんなに毎日使えるものでもないので。
あ、そうなんですか。
使おうと思ったらあの借りに行って使うことはできるんですけど、あの、そんなに頻繁に結構そのサンプルを調整するのとかも時間かかったりするんで、そんなに毎日毎日っていうわけではないので、あのいくつか資料をまとめて月1回とか見に行ったりするんですけども、うん、そういう時にあの予想外の形が出るともう本当にめっちゃテンション上が
るよっしゃーみたいな、
よっしゃーみたいな
その名前をつける時ってなんかこう恐竜とかだと自分の名前つける人とかもいると思うんですけど、なんかそういうルールってあるんですか？
ちょっと前までは人の名前はつけないっていうルールだったんですけども、最近そのルールが変わって人の名前をつけることはできるようになったので、あの
つける、
これ日本語だからあのオフレコで言いますけど、一つあの自分 の, あの元の上司の名前をつけようと思ってるのがあります。
おお、じゃあ近々。
はい。
おじゃあいずれは望月さんの名前も、
自分で自分の名前つけることはできない。
あ、じゃあ下の後輩とかに
つけ
てもらうみたいな。
あるかもしれないです
けど。あ、そかそかそか。
なんか Hopefully it's not a harmful a harmful
As long as we're working with the hot spring samples, I don't think we'll ever hit a
そうだそうだ、
Yeah. How do these structures actually come about? They have all these weird structures, you know, the bottle, the the spiral, the spring mm-hmm. shape, the icosahedron. Yeah. So do you, can you see these structures emerge? Or can, we can never, how does, where does the structure of the virus itself come from? I feel like I have a huge missing piece of information.
If you're just simply asking how they are assembled within the cell, uh-huh. So the basic structure for making a viral particle mm-hmm. is the genome, which mm-hmm. are DNA or RNA, and proteins. So in the case of the icosahedral mm-hmm. viruses, for example, then they are made from tons of proteins that make just the very small pieces of the faces of the icosahedral structure. Mm-hmm. And when they align together properly, then eventually they form this icosahedral structure, uh-huh. and then they insert the DNA or the RNA inside.
Wow! So this is all happening inside of the cell. And mm. it never happens outside.
Mm.
Of
as far as I know, no.
Hmm.
And in the case of the linear viruses like this, the Rutaviridae, Lipothrix viridae, and also the clavivirus. They have the elongated genetic material, mm. and then the protein is wrapped around one by one, mm. and eventually they make this linear structure.
Mm. Mm.
And so the information on how to make the structure, what structure to make is all inside that.
All inside
that the virus particle.
Yes, viral genome sequence, because the viral genome sequence, they all encode the capsid protein. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So could we theoretically tell cells to do nano manufacturing?
We can synthesize just the viral capsids without the viruses.
And with then, the icosahedron structure?
Icosahedral and also some of these linear ones, and then they'll just make the proteins to make the capsid, but without the proper DNAs and things. Some, in the case of the icosahedral ones, you can still make a shell without the DNAs or something in it. So you can literally make a nano shell artificially.
Mm. Wow. Could we use those for anything?
There are also some people who are trying to use that to do drug delivery.
Mm. Oh, right. そっかそっか. ちっちゃいから.
It's amazing that you could have any sort of control at that scale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, forget the tweezers. Like, how are we? Like, this is crazy.
This is so strange.
How did your English get so amazing? It is. You're fluent.
I used to live in America when I was little.
Mm. Little as in.
Between the age of 5 and 7.
Eh, それだけ?
Yes. Mm. But wow. Kids learn quickly.
Cartoons or...
Whatever. But kids really learn quickly, so... Whoa.
But you maintained it after you came back?
I think I was really lucky. And I try to keep watching American TVs with just English, without the Japanese translation and... It's also because I really loved my days there. I always sort of like had the American life in my mind. And my brother told me that I still sleep talk in English.
Wow.
Level
takai.
Kazoku de shaberu toki wa nihongo desu.
Kamuchiro nihongo desu.
Ah, so nanda. Ja mo hontou ni terebi toka sono culture no bubun dake de maintain dekitanda.
You use English quite a bit for your work as well.
Yes, because our institute, the LC Institute in Tokyo, Kogyo Daigaku, it's like 70% foreigners. Hmm. So it's a very unique institute in the country. Hmm. And we have more than half foreigners. So even after I came back to Japan, I still use English very frequently. Mm. So it's also something I like about this institute, the environment.
So. Mm.
Wow. Where is Where do you think the bulk of this virus research is going to come from in the future? Do you think Japan has a strong role to play?
Hopefully, yes. And also simply due to the fact that we have a lot of hot springs around.
Mm.
It's really, really easy for me to take the samples.
Yeah,
that's actually not normal, huh?
The good thing is not only that we have so many of them, but the good thing about doing sampling in Japan is that all of these hot spring locations are very, very famous touristic areas.
Mm.
So it's very easy to access. And not only that, if you just do some internet search, then you can sort of have the idea of what the temperatures and the pH and all those chemical conditions are. And it's all online.
Public information.
This couldn't be any easier for you.
And if you actually go there, there's always the 成分分析表, which are done by real pros. So you already have all the information of the calcium, sodium concentration and all that. And that doesn't happen anywhere else.
Wow.
確かに.
That's a huge advantage.
Yes.
そうか.
Wow. It's like fate almost, a little bit.
そうか. じゃあ他に その 同じような研究をしているその その 世界の 4人 4人 か 5人 の 人たちは どこに いるんですか? ベースというか.
アメリカに 1つ か 2つ グループ ある 人たちは イエローストーン 国立公園によく行ってますし、あとはあのあまりの夢じゃない温泉もアメリカにもいくつかちょこちょこはあるけど、まあアメリカ広いんで、飛行機乗ってとかそういう感じで行くのも大変ですもんね。で、あとはヨーロッパだとあのアイスランドあそこも温泉がいっぱいあるんで、アイスランドとかあとイタリアとかも少しあるので、あとは他の 人たちで東南アジアとかニュージーランドのサンプルでやった人たちもいますけども、そこまで行くのがすごく大変なので。
Who's getting samples from the vents at the bottom of the ocean right now? Is it
in Japan? It's JAMSTEC.
Just
Yeah, I heard that there is also some private companies that own submarines, but it doesn't go as deep as the JAMSTEC ones, only for like a couple hundred meters or something. And America also has one. France has one. Russia has one or two. And recently China also made their manned submarine vehicle very recently.
Is James Cameron in that list? Or?
He, as far as I know, he doesn't bring back samples.
He just goes and checks it out?
Yeah, and take movies and things.
Oh.
And I don't think he ever went down to a hydrothermal vent.
He could, though, right?
He could, but I think what he has only goes down without any movement. So he doesn't have the control to pinpoint and move around.
I see.
So you have to get the position exactly right. That's
and
tough.
That's nearly impossible because of the water currents and all that.
So-ka.
And it can also be quite dangerous if you just end up right on top of the vents and then you'll just...
Well, it seems dangerous either way.
You get toasted.
Yeah, that's true. If you just lowered yourself over the vent, it's over.
そっか、でもその日本に温泉が多いことと、その望月さんの研究がそんなにつながってるっていうのは全然思いつかなかった。私、研究費でルルブを買ったっていうので、なんか事務職なんかで有名になってるらしいです。研究費でルルブを買う人。ただ、どうしてもルルブじゃないといけなくて、ルルブだけが温泉の各宿の温度とペーハーが載ってたんです。じゃあもう完璧ですね。自分にとってはすごく完璧で。研究資料として。よく何々温泉っていうくくりで温度がどれぐらいでペーハーどれぐらいとか載ってたりするのはあっても、宿ごとのその源泉ごとの情報が載ってるのがルルブだけだったので、研究費でルルブを買ったっていう、なんかベッテルを貼られてますけど。ルルブめっちゃ役に立ちますね。すごく役立ちました。で、今もあの、所内の共同研究者とかも一緒に使ってます。
おー。 え、そのどれぐらいの頻度で行かれるんですか、そのサンプル取りに行くっていうのは。
まとめて行くときは結構数日間かけて何か所か回ったりとかもするんですけど、うん、年間で言うとそんなに、あの特に今は昔取ったサンプルを使ったりとかもしてるんで、うん、あのそんなに頻繁にではないですけど、うん、あの去年は初めてイエローストーンにサンプリングにも行きましたし、今年はこの前ちょっとフランスに行ってきて、今度イタリアも行ってくるんですけど、まあ、ね、今はもう年間数回ぐらいです。
そうか。でもじゃあその持って帰ってくる間ワクワクしてる状態ってことですか。
ただ持って帰るときすごい重たいんで、水を持って帰るんで、うん、結構あの肩にあざができたりとか、
あざ。
Do you like onsens? Like you,
I like it, but I think I don't like it as much as the normal Japanese people do.
Oh.
I don't care too much about going into the onsen, but I like eating, so I enjoy the local food.
All right, 旅館のご飯. Yes. Okay.
Are you naked when you're taking the samples?
No.
Because, oh, you're not?
Because I don't take the waters from the bathtub.
Oh, right.
Because that's already contaminated with the human whatever. And some places they add water to cool down.
Right.
So I go asking the permission. I go sort of like the backyard and take the water from the original source.
So, of course, you can't be naked.
I don't know. I kind of had this image of him just going into the onsen with a towel and just this little
taking it.
Box.
Right.
But yeah, I guess you'd have a lot of contamination.
And it's also very, very hot. Normally, I take the waters that are like 80, 90, 100 degrees. So you
right.
really have to cover yourself.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess it's that hot, you know, when it's first coming out right there.
Yeah, sure.
Wow.
ね、うちらはね、その浴槽に入ったところしか見ないからあんまり想像できないけど、普通の人は。That's so funny. 面白いね。
I call myself a blue-collar scientist, not necessarily a white-collar, because I actually go on into the fields and take samples, and that's 力仕事.
Right.
Yeah.
あざまでできるし.
Yeah, and you're carrying that virus back, you know, yourself.
Sure.
Like
on your back, literally.
Yeah, but when you look at the water, it's just a water. You don't see the archaea or the viruses or anything.
So right.
It's just a transparent water.
Yeah, but it could have some huge discovery in it.
Sure.
You know?
That's such a fun
I'm
job.
I'm always hoping that I do find something interesting.
すごいね。世の中にはこういう仕事してる人もいるんだっていう。
There are not too many people working on these thermophilic viruses, but in Japan there's quite a lot of people working on these thermophilic microbes. Like bacteria or archaea. There is a big community for that.
Okay. Do you run into them?
Yeah, sure.
Like, oh, hey.
Not like, oh, hey, but sometimes we go together.
Right. 面白い。
There are more of them than there are of the thermophilic virus researchers.
What do you mean?
There are more people studying those thermophilic
cells
and bacteria than there are for viruses.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you find something that's absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, these are very cool already.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite virus so far?
My personal favorite is this Clavivirid A, because that's the first one that I found. And it grows very easily.
Okay.
And I still use it as sort of like my positive control when I do experiments.
Where did you find it?
I found this from a hot spring in Kagoshima. There is a beach at the very southern tip of Kagoshima called Ibusuki City. And there's a beach that occasionally gets covered with the seawater at high tide. But it shows, and you can just walk there on the beach at low tides, so we take samples there, and the beach goes up to 100 degrees.
Wow.
And there, I just collected the sands from there.
Huh. 間欠泉みたいな。 ことですか。
間欠泉はあのたまに吹いたりたまに止まったりですけど、ここはもうずっと吹き続けてて、でもそんなにあの高さは高くまではいかないです。
うーん、面白い。
Were you hooked from that day?
What do you mean hooked?
When you found this Club of Viride、
yeah.
Were you like hooked on this this journey of finding these guys?
Actually, the sample that eventually led to this one, I didn't go to sample it myself.
Oh, really?
Because it was right after I entered the lab. And there were already some people who went there and took the samples a couple months ago, and it was already kept in the fridge. So I just borrowed that sample, and eventually I got this virus. But for maybe this is the only case that I didn't actually go and sample myself.
Okay.
Oh, and some of the other ones, when I was doing my studies in France, I asked my former colleagues to take the samples and send it for me.
Once you have the sample, could this virus could be in the sample and you could easily not find it, right? That's very possible.
Yeah,
right?
That's very possible.
And how, if there was a sample and you knew that this virus was in that sample, how confident would you be that you'd be able to find it in the sample?
Still, it's I'd say less than 10%.
Really?
Wow.
So it's very much a matter of luck as well.
Yes, because it's partly because, like I said earlier, viruses don't necessarily infect all the host cells, even within the same species. Viruses are very strain specific. So, for example, a virus infecting E. coli, that might not infect all the strains of E. coli. It might only infect like half of them or 10% of those. So it's sort of like a game of finding the right combination of the virus and the host.
Wow.
So in total, I'd say it's the rate is like less than 10%.
Wow.
Assuming, and you don't even know if it's there.
Yeah.
So you could have a sample where it's not there.
Yeah.
You're just
sure.
You just keep looking.
Keep looking for nothing.
Oh God,
And I guess that's also part of the reason why there's not so many people working on these thermophilic viruses.
You need to be super patient, right?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
But that itself is something very, maybe common in science.
I guess. But still. まあでもだからこそ見つけた時の喜びも倍増みたいな。
Exactly.
When do you think we'll have all the viruses labeled? Like, will that ever happen? Or
I don't think it'll ever happen.
There's just way too many.
Because even for cells, it is said that we only can cultivate less than 0.1% of the cellular organisms. Microbes that are in the natural environment.
Whoa.
Less than 0.1%. So for the viruses, I think it's like 100 times or 1,000 times less than that.
Even like a million years from now, it's just we still don't know. We still only know like
maybe a million years if the people are still interested in doing virus huntings. Maybe, but
they'll be interested.
But to start off, we have to have a host cell. And a lot of the cellular organisms is just very difficult to grow in the lab.
そっか。めちゃくちゃ奥が深いですね、もはや。
なので、あの、ちょっとアーティスティックな。
確かに。
Yeah, like what you pay attention to, like how you're feeling kind of,is going to shape which part of the virus world gets revealed.
Yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
ね、だってサンプル取るところからですもんね。どのタイミングでどの辺を取ったかによっても。
Yeah, if a different virologist does the work, you're going to get a different... They may find different things, unavoidably.
That's so crazy.
That makes your work very unique and personal, doesn't it?
ね。
But I think that's cool. All that really ends up fascinating me doing this work.
Yeah. すごい。何かあの宣伝したいこととか、あの個人的にでも地球生命研究所でも。
そうですね。あの職場の地球生命研究所には非常にお世話になってて、今あの研究所自体が、あの元々のファンディングが10年っていう次元付きのファンディングの研究所で、それが延長になるかどうかっていうのがこの1年ぐらいで決まるので、あのでもそれはあの結論出すのは文科省なんですけど、
文科省の人聞いてたらぜひ
Definitely.
でも さっきちょっと話したような、その地球外生命体とか地球の生命の起源とかっていうのに、国民がもっとあの関心を持ってくれたら、それだけ機運が上がると、
あの
より可能性は高くなると思うので、
ぜひじゃあメディアの皆さん、あと普通の人もね、こうツイートしたりとかして盛り上げてもらって、
the pictures are so cool, you know,、ね、there's so much visual material here.
でもあの私の研究だけじゃなくても、その微生物から天文系の人たちまでが一緒のところで働いてるっていうのは、世界で見てもなかなか例がない研究所なので、
あのもうクロスボーダー的な、
はい、
That's really cool.
で外国人率が6割7割ぐらいっていうのも
すごい
面白いところだと思います。
でなんかサイトもすごい分かりやすいサイトがあるので、リンク多分載せるけど、ぜひ皆さんチェックしてみてください、はい、この写真もね、これって普通に公開できるの、ね、
それ自体は、僕の元の上司 の, あのホームページから撮ってきたんですけども、okay, okay. でそれに一部自分で追加したものとかもあるんですけども、それ自体はちょっとまだ公開はできないんですけ ど,
なるほど、
あの Google でアーキアファイラスって検索して、画像検索したら、さっき の, あのワインボトル型とかいうのもいっぱい出てきます、
うん、ぜひ見てみてください。ウイルスね、見た目本当に面白いから、
そう
不思議だよね。
It's mind blowing. Yeah, it doesn't seem real, you know, we don't ever see them. They're so small, but they're everywhere.
And they've been existing for at least 3 billion years.
Yeah,
it's really amazing.
It's a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. ね、本当に急にメールしたにもかかわらず、お忙しい中ありがとうございました。
Thank you so much for coming.
楽しかったです。またぜひ来てください。
はい。
ありがとうございます。
ありがとうございました。
終わり。バイ。
バイ。
バイ。